Good morning, Covenant family. Good morning to you here in front of us. Good morning to you behind the TV screens. We welcome you to our worship this morning. If you're able, please stand with us and let's start our word, our worthy praise of God. Let us adore. We have some piano, please, Mr. Jer.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and all of
each and every day, and we thank him for his blessings. We are going to be enjoying praise together. We will be sharing the Lord's table this morning, and we are just so glad that we can share this with you, our covenant family. And if you're here visiting, I hope you feel welcomed. Introduce yourselves, and family, if you see somebody that's new, please take time to welcome them, because we're so glad to have you here this morning. If you're able, we invite you to continue to stand and praise with us. If you feel that you need to sit and just feel the worship, by all means, just whatever is comfortable to you this morning in this place. Okay, let us continue with our praise this morning. We have a scripture reading to start our morning.
Psalm 34. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together.
I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed. And the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He He surrounds and defends all who fear him.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing.
Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it.
The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed.
Let it be said of us, while we walked among the living, let it be said of us, by the ones we leave behind, let it be said of us, that we live to be a blessing for life. Let it be said of us, that we gave to reach the dying.
What a beautiful name.
my sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you all this morning. For those who may not know who I am, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors here. If you are visiting with us this morning, if you're new, if you have anything to communicate to the office, we've got some cards somewhere in a seat in front of you, and there should be a pen there as well. You can fill that out and drop that in the box at the back on your way out. Online, you can go to our website, go to About Us, and then there's a thing that says, I'm new, and that should get you to a spot where you could let us know that you're connected with us. We'd love to hear from you. This morning, we are going to be receiving communion together. As we head into that, I just want to read a little bit from Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is one of the very famous chapters of the Bible. Lots of people have heard it. It lists a whole bunch of people that were known for their faith. And it gets to the end of that chapter. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. I think some of us can relate to feeling like we're missing out. Like, God, you said I get this, but not seeing it yet. So, for God has something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. That somehow we're included in that list. Like, that list ends, but we're drawn into it. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't be weary and give up. I love this passage because it ties us to the generations, the centuries, the millennia of saints that have gone before us. It inspires us and encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus in the present while we look forward to what is to come. Every month in our tradition, when we eat and drink, that's what this does. It reminds us that we're a part of this great tradition of people. We aren't inventing anything here. If it's brand new, when it comes to faith stuff, we have reasons to say, okay, let's pause and just check this out, because we're part of a huge, long tradition. It reminds us that in the present, our eyes are supposed to be on Jesus. And there's so many things that try to pull our eyes away from other things, even within the church. It reminds us where our eyes are supposed to be to help us today. And it points us forward. Even the fact of eating and drinking, it's this imagery of receiving the sustenance so that we can take the next step. And the next step, well, we persevere waiting for the thing that is promised that none of us have tasted fully yet. That's what we do when we eat and drink together. We encourage all those who are followers of Jesus to join us in this with these reminders at heart. We are going to sing a song. While we sing, Brent and I will pass these out to you, encourage you to hold them, and we will eat and drink together after we sing this song.
Precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, for. Our hearts always hunger for.
Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much for your love displayed in the person, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for your grace to us who all have sinned, all have fallen short, and yet you not only love us, you love us enough to pursue us, to rescue us, to invite us into a relationship with you. God, as we eat and drink, may we be reminded of this huge family of people that you have been consistently and faithfully calling to yourself. May we be reminded to keep our eyes on Jesus in a world that so desperately wants to turn our attention to other things as the potential source of our hope. God, may we be energized, animated to live well the life that you invite us into. God, thank you that we are able to enjoy this time of eating and drinking together as a family in this place. Thank you for all who are participating with us, again, whether here or online. Thank you for your presence among us as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen. This is modeled after a meal when Jesus took bread and passed it around to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. And after the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine and passed it and shared it. This cup, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us drink in remembrance. I'll remind you as we eat and drink that we used to, back when we passed offering plates before COVID stuff happened, take up a special offering on Communion Sundays for our compassion projects so that we can help those in our community who are in need. We aren't going to pass plates, but if you ever do want to contribute to our compassion ministries, you can just put that in an envelope, mark compassion on it, and it will go designated to that fund. If you give online, that's one of the funds you can designate to. And that money, again, goes to help our compassion ministries. It goes to help support our compassion partners. We have a few compassion partners in this community that we share that with. And then as individuals have needs, it goes to help meet those needs as well. So that's something I just want to make sure you're aware of. Now we are going to actually pray for and dismiss our kids and our youth. Our kids, there's a program downstairs for you this morning, and our youth, there's a program in the portable for you. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then after we pray, you guys can head out, and then we are going to sing one more song before we get to the sermon. But we've got a special program for you guys. Let me pray for you, and then we'll continue through the service. God, thank you so much for our kids and our youth. They are such an important part of who we are. We thank you for how they minister to us with their curiosity, their questions, their excitement at times, their skepticism at times. Just may we not just engage them with a sense of control or trying to force them into who we are, but may we listen to them and point them to you. May we point them to Jesus and allow them to find their hope and their answers in Christ. God, thank you for those who are teaching, both the kids and the youth today. May you bless their programs and just, again, more than the program themselves, just bless the relationships that are built and encourage them on their journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids can head on out. It looks like Ken's going this way for the youth. If you want to go to the portable that way. And those who are able to and would like to, invite you to stand while we continue to sing a song. All right. You guys doing okay today? Are you, check, this is on? Okay. Are you guys doing okay today? Yeah? Okay. Just making sure. We are continuing our series this morning, looking at some of the New Testament images of the church. A few weeks ago, we looked at the image of the body. I'm not going to rehearse all of what we talked about because everything's online. You can go back and listen to that if you want to. We spent a couple of weeks then looking at the image of a family, specifically that we are a part of God's family. Today we're continuing with, we're going to cover two images today because they are tied together in Scripture. Jesus uses them in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's this part of Scripture, this collection of Jesus' teachings that reveal the essential heart of God's call to those who come to him through Jesus. Fairly early in this collection of teachings, Jesus offers this challenge, this invitation, this identification of what it is like for people or part of the purpose of being for his followers. He says this in Matthew 5. I think it should come up on the screen as I read it. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light on a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. God, I just ask that as we consider these images, that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged where appropriate, that we would just come away from this having sense your Spirit speaking to us collectively and individually as needed. God, open us up to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, salt and light. Let's consider what these images are. Salt is NaCl, but it's basically, it's a source of flavor. Anybody here cooks, like to cook in the kitchen? If you don't have salt, it really impacts the taste of your food. Most of the time in a negative way, depending on what you're making. But it's something that, although it impacts the taste of your food, in most foods, you don't taste it and think, salt. Right? It transforms the flavor without being a dominant thing. In fact, most of us, if you've ever had to try and go low sodium, there's all kinds of stuff that has salt in it that you don't even know has salt in it until you start reading labels that you need to stop having salt. It's a source of flavor, but not something that necessarily is the taste in and of itself, unless, of course, you're having, like, potato chips or something like that, where it's the addictive thing. But that is another thing about salt, is it can be something that you actually start to crave if you have enough of it. But it's a source of flavor. Think about the image of light. Where salt is a source of flavor, light is ultimately a source of vision. It's something that helps everything that it touches to be able to be visible better. Without light, has anybody ever gotten up in the middle of the night in a strange place and tried to find your way to the washroom without any light? You start to realize the importance of light. Or those of us who have eyes that start to not let as much light in as we get older. The importance of light is very evident. You know, those of us who have to stand under the brightest light and go like this to read the can to see how much salt is in the thing, we realize the importance of light. It helps us to be able to see better. And Jesus uses these images to describe his followers. And what's interesting is he doesn't say, you should be the salt of the world. Or the earth. You should be the light of the world. He actually says, you are. Which is a pretty significant thing to say. You are this to the earth and to the world. The way that we engage, the way that Jesus' followers engage with life and with the world puts some type of flavor into the earth. It shines some type of light into the world. And because of the posture we have, the claim we make is that how we live, what we are offering to the world, this is what God is like. Right? Christians across the board, even like no matter what perspective they come from, are making a claim that we are following God's way in the world. We are claiming that what we're offering is God's way. We are impacting the world. But that doesn't mean that we're automatically doing it faithfully. You know, salt can lose its flavor. It can still be there, but it's useless for improving taste. I don't know if anybody's had salt on their shelf long enough that it no longer has the saltiness to it. I actually did some research this week, found out that salt actually doesn't go rancid. It just loses its impact. So you can put if the salt has lost its flavor, you can put as much as you want in and it doesn't improve or make the flavor any better. Light can be present, but if it's hidden, it fails in its purpose to help with vision. You can turn a light on and cover it up and it's no longer helpful. Because we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, doesn't mean that we're doing it faithfully in a way that actually helps people to taste the goodness of God or to see the goodness of God. So we have to wrestle with what does it look like to embody God's way faithfully? And there's a million ways that I could go about exploring this, because the Bible is full of all kinds of teaching. Particularly, Jesus is full of all kinds of teaching. I mean, he goes on from this point in Matthew 5 to give all kinds of specific teaching. I'm not going to rehearse all of that for you today. I was expecting an amen on that. At the heart of what it means to look to embody God's way faithfully, I've got three different perspectives that we could think about that. The first is from the psalm that we read earlier. I love the fact that Psalm 34, way before you get to these images of salt and light, says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." If we're embodying this faithfully, people should be able to taste and see God's goodness through how we live. That would be a faithful embodiment of the way of Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If people are able to do that, then we're probably doing a pretty good job at embodying the way of Jesus faithfully in the world. Another example would be in Micah 6:8, one of my favorite verses, where the people have been doing all this religious stuff. They're making the sacrifices, they're going to the temple, and the prophet, speaking on behalf of God, says, like, this isn't what I want. All this religious stuff is completely pointless. You know what God wants from you. It's seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. If we're doing these things, we're probably doing a good job at embodying God's way faithfully. Seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. What does it look like to embody God's way faithfully? A third thing, we see it in the New Testament. Jesus' primary invitation to people was simply, follow me. Follow the way of Jesus. Look to Jesus and walk in that way. I think these things all combine together. If we're offering a taste and vision of God that people look at and say, this is good. If we're seeking justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God and following Jesus, these things, I think they all are the same kinds of teaching, just put in different words. That's what it looks like to embody God's way faithfully in the world. I think this is important, that our call is to be salt and light, to offer this taste of God's way and this vision of God's world that people see as good, as reflecting Jesus' way. But like I said when we were receiving communion, there's a temptation to get off of those things, to think the church has some other job or mandate. If we're called to be salt and light, to infuse the world with something that improves the flavor of the whole thing, that points people to the way of Jesus in a compelling and beautiful way, I would suggest that our call is not to fix the government and to take power over everything. I would suggest that our call is not to fix or build up a religious system where we can expect people to fall in line with the checklist. Our call is to embody God's way faithfully so that the world around us can taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, we don't always do this. But what's the fruit? I got to thinking this week, what's the fruit of not embodying God's way faithfully? Of not living in a way that people are drawn into and compelled by the tastes that they taste when they're around us, or the vision that they see as a result of how we live. What's the fruit of that? And one of the things I thought about was the number of churches, denominations that have grown exponentially not doing this. It can look like success not doing the things that Jesus wants us to do. Because the human measure of success, the worldly measure of success, looks very different. You can get, well, I'll use words of scripture, we can gain the whole world and lose our soul. And that gaining of the world looks successful. I'm not going to name churches, but there's three documentaries out about a church that had global impact. You looked on paper and said, look how successful they are. And yet they were missing out on the way of Jesus. And behind the scenes, there was abuse and there was misuse of money. And they were completely not living the way of Jesus. It has now crumbled. And the impact of that has devastated people's faith. Not embodying God's way can lead to the appearance of success. We have to be very, very careful to look at something that's going bigger and better and brighter and say, look how God's blessing it, because it may actually just be that they're gaining worldly success and losing the way of Jesus. The fruit of not embodying God's way faithfully might be gaining power and prestige. It might look, oh yeah, there's a little autocorrect there. Should be prestige on there. But it might be that they people gain the seats of power in government. They gain control. They gain fame. I just want to be honest about the fact that things that we might look at as successful, as good things from a worldly perspective, are actually the fruit of not embodying God's way, because the way of Jesus is to lay down that power and to serve. Ultimately, though, I would say, no matter how much success or the appearance of power and prestige might be gained, the fruit of not embodying God's way faithfully is that people miss out on sometimes actually seeing Jesus. At the very least, they lose out on being a full part of a healthy embodiment of God's family. I looked at some numbers this week, and in a 2017 study, there was a survey done, and it said that 2/3 of young people who had attended church at least twice a month as teenagers stopped attending church as young adults. Now, that might not surprise us, because we can witness the struggle for young adults to stick with church. And some of that was accounted to life stage stuff. 34% moved away and just didn't connect with the church where they went. 24% said work responsibilities took the priority. But it's the other numbers that were challenging. 32% of the people who said they weren't a part of a church anymore said it was because church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical. They weren't embodying the way of Jesus in a way that was compelling. They saw as good. 29% said they didn't feel connected to people in their church. If we aren't building relationships with them, then perhaps we're not living out the way of Jesus in a way that is compelling and beautiful. 25% said, I didn't agree with my church's stance on social and political issues. My thought on that is, our stance on social and political issues shouldn't be pursued on the basis of whether or not someone will find it attractive. But if the church's stance on social and political issues is such that it is an upfront priority to such an extent that somebody who isn't sure they agree with that feels they can't even be there, then maybe it's too big a priority in that church. On the flip side, among the smaller number who did continue to attend church, and these aren't on the screen, but 56% say the church was a vital part of their relationship with God. It was fostering something in them that actually helped them to connect with God. 54% said they wanted the church to help guide their decisions in everyday life. There was something compelling about the churches they were connected with. 43% said they wanted to follow the example of a parent or other family member. They looked at someone in their life and said, that person has something compelling, and I want to follow their example. Say the difference, one of the primary differences between those groups is that one of them is looking at Christians at a church and saying, I'm not tasting and seeing something good there. The other group is saying, I am tasting and seeing something good there. Now, I want to be clear, attending church does not equal a connection to Jesus. Just as not attending church does not equal, it doesn't mean you're disconnected from Jesus or you're rejecting Jesus. But if, as we talked about a few weeks ago, God's design is for those of us who are connected to Jesus to be connected as a part of a body and to be living in a family together, then there's been immense harm done to those young people who disconnect from church because the church wasn't embodying God's way faithfully. I would love to say that it's just young people where this is a challenge, but it's not. And this is only talking about young people who have actually been in church where they've had a chance to see something compelling. This isn't even like looking at connecting with people beyond the walls of a church where their ideas of the church is being shaped by things other than our life together. Our invitation is not to try and look at these numbers and fix the big global church. Our invitation is not to try and point fingers and blame other churches. It's to say, okay, how can we, in this place, embody the way of Jesus in such a way that people can actually taste and see that the Lord is good? That we offer something in our community that is compelling and beautiful and makes it taste better. You know, like, I think of it this way. If somebody moved to our community, are we engaged in our community in such a way that even if they can't identify it's us, they say there's something in this community. I haven't put my finger on it yet, but there's something here that makes it special. That doesn't always show up from what the organization of the church does. That shows up when people who are a part of the church are doing this in all kinds of ways and places. Like, one of the things, I don't want to brag too much, but I look out at this small community and those who I know are online, and I know so many of the ways and places that you are connected and involved, formally and informally, where this is happening. Where people connect over there and they're like, there's something special here. They don't know it's because there's a Jesus follower who's on the board or who volunteers or who's living out the way of Jesus out there, or who are in the schools or who are running businesses in a way that just feels different and they can't put their finger on it yet. That is salt having an impact. When they meet people and they're like, you know what, there's something different about them. There's a joy in them. Or even though things are tough for them, there's something, again, I can't put my finger on it. That is shining a light for the world. This is not, I want to be clear, we're looking at these images in a way that doesn't, I'm not trying to say we're not doing this and we need to shape up, because I believe we are doing this pretty well. But it's always good to come back and look at the images and say, okay, God, let's be conscious about this. How can we do this in a way that invites people to see the beauty and wonder of God in the world? So I got three questions. Oh, sorry, before I get to the questions, just a reminder, the goal of embodying God's way faithfully. And just have two scriptures here. One is this, from the text we read. The goal of this is that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not so that we get glory. It's not so that people say how awesome covenant is. It's so that people can say, wow, there's something about the God they serve. And the second is just Peter talking to the church. He said, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, I love that. Even if they're like, they want to be mad at you, even if they want to tell you off because you're not doing things right, even if that's the case, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. It moves them to honor the God that we serve because of how we live in the world. It's three questions. Do people see my life as a Jesus follower as compelling and as something to celebrate, as something to give glory to God for? There's actually kind of two sub things under that. It's not how do I think I'm doing, it's considering how other people think you're doing. But a part of that is, do people see my life? Because it's sometimes easy to get caught in a little bit of a bubble where we aren't actually intentionally engaging with people who are beyond the Christian circle. So do people around me see my life as a Jesus follower as compelling, as something to celebrate? Maybe we need to ask our spouse or our kids some of these tough questions. Are there situations in which I find myself hiding the light of Christ? Where we kind of bury it, we kind of go along with the flow because we don't want to disrupt things. And just consider, if there are, why are we hiding the light of Christ? And the last one kind of builds off of that. If there are such situations, how can I shine the light of Christ in a way that is beautiful and loving and compelling to those who aren't followers of Jesus? I'll leave those with you as things to wrestle with in your own life, to talk about, you know, with those around you, to talk about as a family. And they're the kinds of questions we need to consider as a community together as well. Let's pray together. God, you give us this beautiful offer and invitation to shine your light to the world, to help cast a vision, to help people see your way in the world. And often your way goes so counter to the habits and patterns that we learn that are instilled in us through the various ways and places of learning in the world. But I ask God that you would help us individually and collectively to live in a way that is beautiful and compelling. Shine a light on your way that even if people don't get it, they don't understand it, they struggle with it, that they will be moved by it and say, you know what? I don't know if it's possible to actually do that, but that's pretty beautiful if it is. God, I ask that you would help us as individuals to live in a way that, again, represents the way of Jesus well in the world. Not the way of religion, not the way of trying to control everything, but a way of service and sacrifice, of love. God, may we live this out in a way that is beautiful and compelling. May the world around us taste and see that you, O God, are good. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to run through our closing reminders now because we're going to sing a song as our benediction. So if we have those on screen there. We do have a coffee and conversation meeting happening next Sunday. So we invite you to bring some type of napkin-friendly snack things to share. And we're going to stick around after the service with coffee and some snacks so we can talk about some stuff. That's coming up next week. What else do we have? Inspire, there are still a few spots left for kids for Inspire Makerspace Camp. The other thing we have on Inspire is there is a checklist on the board right by the entrance of some things that we could use donated. It just helps us to not have to buy them if people are interested in donating some really practical items. You're at all dinner. Continues tonight. What else do we have on there? Covenant Youth this week. It's decorating night. They're painting and preparing Inspire decorations this coming Wednesday. So it will probably be messy and a whole lot of fun. And then what else do we have? If you're able to give, there's a box at the back. You can give online, or you can drop it in the mailbox during the week. And then if you need some prayer, Angie is going to be in the prayer room up here after the service. We also have a prayer wall if you want to write something on the prayer wall that people can stop by and see and pray for. We also have those cards in front of you. There's one side that's just for prayer. And if you want to talk with somebody for prayer, but you don't necessarily want to stop by the prayer room, you can fill that out, drop it in the box at the back. We'll get it, and we can get a deacon or someone to follow up with you and give you a call to pray with you like that. Yes. Father's Day is coming. So just a couple of things. There's coffee and conversation next week. The week after is Father's Day, and one of our compassion partners is Compassion Place. And so we gave these out on Mother's Day. We invite you to fill them up or put whatever you can in them and bring them back on Father's Day. so that we can get them to Compassion Place. And so Father's Day is 2 weeks from now. Sorry. Yeah. Father's Day is 2 weeks from now. And then the last Sunday of the month is we're going to be doing a barbecue. So we got next week, Coffee and Conversation, Father's Day. And we do have gifts for fathers on that day. And then a barbecue on the last Sunday of the month. And so that's what we have going on. I am going to offer you a blessing. And then we are going to sing. Women's Bible study is over for now. They're doing a brunch this week. Men's Connection on Tuesday morning is over for now. The women are doing a brunch on Wednesday. Men are doing a breakfast on Tuesday. If you want to join the breakfast, let me know so we can make sure we got enough spots. If you want to join the brunch, did I talk to you, Elise? Or who do they? Okay, you can talk to Elise. I think that's everything. As you go, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. I invite you to stand while we are blessed with this song. Once the song is done, please go in peace.
Filled with love.